Are you a crafter? Annie's Kit Clubs will deliver creativity right to your mailbox. Get a new shipment every month with supplies and instructions to make something beautiful. Whether you like crocheting, quilting, knitting, or other crafts, Annie's has a club for you. They even offer clubs to try a variety of crafting techniques. Make a quick new project every month or take a larger piece like a quilt or an afghan one section at a time. Annie's has clubs for kids too. So introduce your kids to crafting, woodworking, and STEM activities with projects they can make themselves. No matter your age, skill level, or crafting interest, you can explore your favorite hobbies with convenient kits that are just the right size. Visit Annie's Kit Clubs, that's A-N-N-I-E-S, K-I-T, Clubs, C-L-U-B-S.com, and enter promo code BOOMER at checkout to receive 50% off your first order. Begin crafting today. Hello, and welcome to the Hey Boomer Show, the show for those of us who believe that we are never too old to set another goal or dream a new dream. My name is Wendy Green, and I am your host for Hey Boomer. And today I'm coming to you live from Asheville, North Carolina. I am here at my daughter's house, and tonight we are going to see the Carolina Youth Symphony, where her son will be playing percussion. So I am definitely looking forward to that. With the Hey Boomer Show, I always want people to walk away from each episode feeling like they met someone whose story they could relate to, or someone who they feel inspired by, or they have learned something from. And in today's episode, the inspiration and learnings will come from our conversation about moving on from loss with Linda Rivero. And as I was preparing for this episode, I was thinking about what I wanted to do to frame the conversation. And I found a short essay from writer Monique Minahan. And she wrote this when she lost a partner, which is similar to what happened with Linda and what led her into the work that she's doing today. So Monique wrote, "Grief taught me loss expands before it shrinks. The list of what I've lost is not just one line, but pages long sometimes. Because I didn't just lose a human being I loved. I lost the sound of their feet in the hallway, the water running as they brushed their teeth, the sight of their face down the hall, the sound of their voice on the phone, the ability to reach out and touch them. Everyone's list is unique and endless. I try to honor the living by not turning away from their list of loss, by not telling them what it should contain, by not comparing my list to theirs. This grief, she's like a mother to me. She birthed me into an experience I never asked for and many times was not sure I would survive. But together, we make it through this life, stumbling and learning, mourning and celebrating, each step teaching us all we need to know about what it means to live, to love, and to lose. In this episode, we will talk about grief and loss, how it can be overwhelming and feel debilitating at times. And we'll talk about moving on from these debilitating feelings to that place where we can feel alive again, be open to love again, and find things to celebrate again. Linda Rivero is a counselor and a coach and the founder of 55andBoulder.co. And she will help us understand more about this process. And I'm going to introduce you to her in just a few minutes. But before I do, I want to mention our sponsor, Rhodes Scholar. Rhodes Scholar is the not-for-profit leader in educational travel for boomers and beyond. They have trips to all 50 states and over 100 countries. You know I love traveling with Rhodes Scholar, and in fact, this summer I have two trips planned. Well, in June, I'm going to Costa Rica, and I think some of you are joining me on that trip. And then in July, I am taking my youngest grandson on a Windjammer cruise off the coast of Maine with Rhodes Scholar. We're very much looking forward to that. So I promise that you will love your experience of traveling with Rhodes Scholar. Go to their website at roadscholar.org/heyboomer to check out all of their amazing educational adventures. And the Hey Boomer podcast is brought to you entirely free. It is a labor of love, and it really does take a lot of time and effort to bring you high quality shows every week. So I have two favors to ask of you. First, I would like you to share this episode with friends or family, people that you know who would benefit from hearing us talk about moving on from loss, or that would benefit from any of the shows that we do on Hey Boomer. If you're listening live, you can tag them in the comments, and that will let them know that you think they should listen or watch the rerun. And if you are listening to it on the podcast, please go ahead and like the show first and then share it with your friends. And if you want to support the work I'm doing, please go to buymeacoffee.com/heyboomer0413. So it's buymeacoffee.com/heyboomer0413 and contribute any amount that you feel comfortable with. I appreciate you, and I will recognize you on the show. I'll recognize you in the newsletter for your contributions unless you tell me you want to remain anonymous. So thank you so much for that. And now let me tell you a little bit about Linda. She is the founder of 55 and Bolder, a company dedicated to inspiring and guiding women 55 and beyond who have suffered a deep loss to reignite the zest for living we all had in our youth. Through her coaching and her SOAR course, S-O-A-R, SOAR course, Linda lovingly guides her clients to discover and embrace the passionate, purpose-driven direction that gives their lives renewed meaning and leaves them feeling fulfilled, thrilled, and fabulous. She believes that creativity and creative pursuits are keys to recapturing happiness. A serial entrepreneur, Linda has had a colorful career path. She has been a counselor and an educator of teens and adults, an official circus photographer, and a university professor of Italian and Spanish. As a travel planner, Linda was thrilled to receive national press recognition for her hundreds of individualized creative tours of the Italian countryside. She was also proud to be honored at the Embassy of Cameroon for her inspiring work bringing American women to Senegal, West Africa, to work with local Senegalese women on urgently needed projects. And during the past 9 years, Linda has fulfilled a lifelong dream, dedicating her personal time to developing her singing and studying vocal improvisation with master improvisers Bobby McFerrin and Rhiannon. So with that, let me introduce you to Linda. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Wendy. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
Yes, and I have enjoyed our conversation so far, so I'm excited to bring you to the audience. So if you would give us a little background, what happened that has so devastated you and now reinvigorated you to start this new business?
Right. A great lead into that answer is referencing the quote that you opened your show with, particularly the beginning. I remember my husband died 10 years ago. And at the time that he died, we had been close for 53 years because we were kids, young kids together. So that's a lot of years to lose a relationship. And what she was saying at the beginning of her quote was that it's not just the loss of your partner. I remember after a few months, and I was like a deer in headlights. I was just not, I couldn't do anything except eat and watch movies, which was not terribly healthy, but it got me through.
Right.
But I remember realizing one day, it's not just that I lost my husband, my partner. You lose everything. I mean, everything is completely upside down. And I distinctly remember telling a close girlfriend, and I remember writing it in a journal, I felt like a dinghy alone in the dead of night in the midst of a black ocean. That's exactly how it felt. So it's so much more than like losing the guy. It reverberates in ways that I never expected. And I don't think anybody expects that. And I really don't think there's, frankly, I don't think there's any way to prepare for that kind of loss except the experience.
Yeah.
You just don't know until you're in it.
And so you were struggling in that, and something inspired you to say, I need to help other people.
Right. Well, the first thing I had to do was help myself because I was nowhere. And after months went by, I remember I realized one day that, oh my God, life really is finite. Of course, we all know this, but I never knew it until I really knew it. You know, when that last moment comes, you're out of time. The sand has run dry. That's it. No more opportunities. And I remember asking myself, what is it that I would be distraught dying without having tried? Mm-hmm. What do I need to do before I have no more time? And immediately I knew the answer. And for me, it was music. And I have a lot of music in my personal background, but singing in particular. And that's when I just said, okay, I'm going to do this. And I was in my 60s. I mean, it's not so easy getting your voice back in your 60s, boy, because things change. But I found a wonderful, turned out to be perfect for me, vocal coach, and she got me back, and I worked hard at it, and then I became just enchanted with freestyle improvisation as opposed to like jazz improvisation, which people are more familiar with, Ella Fitzgerald, and who's, you know, the top of skill.
Right. Yeah.
But it's not that. It's more creating music on the spot, like out of nowhere to start. And the master of that, of course, is Bobby McFerrin, for those who are familiar with it. And a colleague of his, a singer he's been working with for like 45 years, her name is Rhiannon, not the young Rhiannon, it's a different Rhiannon. And I started working with her, like going to workshops and traveling all over the place, following her around. And
wow.
I finally auditioned for and got into her, what she calls her master class, that went on for a year. And so I really got into it seriously and loved it. And now, even now, I'm still doing groups of, they're small groups, but I keep the skill going.
Yeah.
You know, somewhat. So it's good. And it just brought me back to life.
Yeah.
And then after that, I started thinking, you know, when I look back, there was essentially a system. I didn't know it, but I could see a system in this, you know, and that's when I started thinking, well, why don't I help other people? Because it can be really, really tricky finding your way through when you feel you're ready to find your way through, which is different from being in the thick of grief.
Right. And so it sounds like the first thing that helped you start to find your way back or through, I think through is a better word than
I think
back.
through is a better word, yeah.
Yeah. So was asking yourself that question, what would I miss if I died now? What would I have not, what I have left unfinished?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's it's
Interesting.
a very
Okay.
motivating question
It
when you're
is.
ready to ask it.
Yeah. And you asked it while you were still in the depths of despair.
Yes, I was, but I knew at the simultaneously with the depths was this little light of realization that time ends. It ends. One day it's ends. It's over. And I think that little opening just got a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger as I focused on it more and then followed through.
So I was thinking about this, before we came on, and I think when you've been in a long-term relationship, part of your definition of yourself is as part of that relationship, right? And all of a sudden that's taken away from you. Was this question part of how you found who you were separate from that relationship, or are there other things that would recommend?
Ah, well, that's an interesting question. I loved my husband very deeply. At the same time, I always felt separate. I never felt like I was swallowed up in the relationship. I just wasn't me. So I never, I don't know, I didn't feel, but what did happen when he died is that he was my foundation. I always remember that he was my anchor. I had no more anchor, hence the dinghy in the middle of the ocean. So I'm not sure if I'm going
I
near
guess
your
I'm
question.
thinking, like when you are out with as a couple, this is my husband.
Right.
So now you're the wife, you're in a partnership.
Yes.
And now you're out, if you're even going out, and you're like, who are you? Well, I'm
Right.
Linda, but
Right.
I'm no longer a wife, and
Yeah.
I'm
Yeah.
not working now because I'm so depressed. I don't know what to be doing with myself. So I guess that
Yeah.
was really what I was thinking about. Like, who are you? How do you figure that out again?
For me, the path to figuring it out again was what I described. It was the realization that I have to do whatever it is I have to do. I'm not even sure what it is. And focusing on that and getting an answer and following through. And that led to more. That led to 55 and bolder. That it just opened up more and more as I allowed that in. Does
Okay, so
that
you have
make
a
sense?
system. Is that
Yeah.
the SOAR, SOAR? Is that
Yeah.
that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you tell me more about that?
Well, SOAR is the fat quote, little sub, the fast path to uncovering what's next after your loved one is gone. So it is a 6-week course, and it's the entry level course. S stands for set your intentions. Four major components. O, obliterate your obstacles. So we talk about what's in your way, because there's always stuff in your way, and the strategy for dealing with that and getting it out of your way. A, accelerate your progress using the science of your brain, meaning neuroplasticity and how we can actually engage our brain to make real changes. And R, rejoice in your results. Begin to feel the feedback, sort of the energy feedback and changes in your life as you move through the process. So hence SOAR.
I love the acronym because it really does kind of get you up into that vibrant feeling again.
Yes,
Yeah.
exactly. It
So
does.
is this a group workshop or is this individual?
It's a group class, and then with a lot of interaction from me, and then goes into a more extended group program and private coaching. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, super important work. So, what are some of the Go ahead.
No, I just had a thought. I think it's important to note that that we can't wait for things to be perfect to start moving. I think when we start to get those little whispers, I'm a big believer in the importance of intuition. When we start to get a little whisper, it's so important to hear it and to pay attention to it and move along, not expecting grief to be gone. I don't think it's ever gone. We learn to live with it, and it certainly changes, and it diminishes in the sense that it doesn't occupy our whole life anymore. But it has its place, and it's sort of like a partner. We just kind of keep going. But to not wait for a perfect moment. Well, okay, I'm ready now. I think I'm ready to start painting again. Then just pick up a paintbrush and see what happens. Take whatever little pieces you can get and build on those.
Yeah, because you mentioned before, when people are ready, they have to be ready to move on.
Yeah.
How do you know?
It's not an all or nothing thing. And again, I think, it's such a gray area, and it's so individual.
Yeah.
So it is hard to define, but I think that the universal piece of knowing when you're ready is when you just get those little whispers. You just have a little sense of there's something else. And then maybe it's gone, but then it comes again, there's something else. And you start hearing it and listening and following along.
Also,
like breadcrumbs.
But it sounds like also finding ways to support yourself when you hear that, because we have so many fears and self-doubts, right? So how can friends and family and people like you support folks that are just starting to hear that little whisper, but they're like, I don't know.
Right. You know, I think with loss, I think it's that was what I did. And I spoke to my children and maybe one really close friend. But people are different, and some people have much stronger need for social engagement when they're down. And unfortunately, what I've heard many times is that they lose friends. People stop calling, people stop coming over. And it's because they don't know what to say. People have no idea what to say, and they think, well, I'll give her time. Well, I'll leave her alone. Meanwhile, she may really need to see you. For me, I think it's so important to get to have contact with people who understand. In my case, I had a bereavement counselor, and I was in a bereavement group, and I'm not much of a group joiner, but I had to do something. And it made all the difference and enabled me to move forward, not only because people understood, but there's a lot of understanding. And then there's laughter. You know, we're all in this, and it does have its funny moments, especially when you're able to share it and feel the trust of people who have been where you are. That's a whole different experience from sharing it with a friend who may love you, but doesn't know how to navigate it.
Yeah, because that is hard for a lot of people to know what to say. And I have found and been coached that sometimes you don't have to say anything, just to be there.
Yeah.
You know, be okay with the silence.
Right. I agree. And that is also hard for some people to do.
Yeah.
They might love the idea and want to, but I feel so weird and I feel like I should help. And it's hard.
Yeah.
Don't live in a society that teaches us how to be silent and happy with it.
Yeah.
You know, we're very go.
Right. I see a couple of our listeners say that when they were dealing with grief and hard feelings, they wrote poems, that they shared things on grief websites. Writing can be a very healing activity.
And that goes right into creativity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a major artery for energy and getting to another place. Writing is super, of course. It's very, very, very powerful. And if writing resonates with you, boy, keep going. Just write and write and write. For me, it was music. But it comes.
So what is it about? But what is it about creativity? You know, I know when my father died, my mother will always say she's not creative, but she decided to learn how to play the ukulele. So what is it about creativity that seems to have such a positive impact on us when we're grieving?
For one thing, creative activity, it takes us outside of ourselves. We're focusing on something else, and it tunes us into another piece other than the intellectual, the rote that's going on that we're struggling with. He's lost, he's gone, he's gone, he's gone, he's gone, he's gone. You know, it removes us. If you're writing, it, you know, it comes out on the page. If I'm focusing on developing my voice, and all that energy goes there.
Right.
You know, if it's watercolors, it's whatever it is. You know, it can be fashion design, whatever you like, but if let's say it's fashion design for someone in that category, because I know for someone for whom that's the case, and you know she got to the point where she could look online and just look for designers that she loved and look at stuff and take out her pad and start working on her colors, and it's all the same source. It's just different expressions in different people. But it's magical. It removes us from ourselves. And it also gives us a sense of power.
Oh, tell me more about that.
Well, a sense of control. If a woman is writing a lot, there's this energy shift that it gets out and it's in front of you. And then the words are there, whether you read them or you don't. It's there, and there's a power in that. And if I'm recording myself, even, you know, marginally better, it's I know I did it, and I know I sound better than I did last time, etc. And it applies to any.
So what about people that are self-critical and they're like, I have no talent, I'm not creative. You know, how do you deal with them?
You know, the first thing that comes to my mind is meditation. To get quiet, because I don't believe that. I think everybody has it, maybe to varying degrees, perhaps. But your mother, I'm not creative, but she picked up. Why a ukulele? Why didn't you know? But that there you go. Case in point. I think we do all have that. But if we're unable to allow that possibility, then that gets into perfectionism. And our expectations, and well, if I don't write like Byron, I can't write, you know, and it's a problem.
It is a problem, right?
It stops us. And of course, that's high anxiety about what we think we should be capable of, not expression, not allowing ourselves the luxury of just opening up. And that's why I said meditation, because it does bring down the energy to a manageable, you know, quiet level.
And you just used an important word. You said should. And I would imagine as you were coming out of this loss, a lot of people were shoulding on you. You know, you should be better by now, Linda. You should jump. Come on, Linda. Buck yourself up and da da da.
Yeah.
What are some of the shoulds that you heard, and how do you deal with those?
My mother was remarkable, and she was a great mom in many ways. However, this kind of understanding was not her strong suit. And maybe a couple of years after my husband died, we were talking about that, and she said, boy, you were really down there. And I said, well, yeah. And I said, well, it was a very deep loss. She said, yeah, but you went overboard. I mean, that's really, yeah, I know. You don't say that, but she did. I mean, this is the only one thing about my mother, and it's negative. But she had a lot of positives.
We love your mother anyway.
We love, I love my mother too. I mean, she's gone, but I miss her and I love her. But that hurt because it was my mother, but I just, I tried to change the channel and just, you know, call a good friend who wasn't going to say something like that and counterbalance it. Yeah. And people, you know, if people are, nobody was ever intrusive with me about that because because they weren't. I don't really allow that kind of thing, but that can certainly happen if you have friends that you love, but sometimes they kind of overstep. And if possible, to just have the wherewithal to say, back off.
Yeah. And I think we do it to ourselves, you know. We might look out a year or two and say, I should be over this by now. You know, but like you said, you never... Totally.
You're never totally over it. Someone was referring to it yesterday as I want to be done with grief. And my response to that is, well, look, good luck with that. But you never get really done with it, but it does morph, it changes. And here's a very interesting case in point that completely astonished me. My husband died 10 years ago, and his sons and my son, the three boys, and I went down to the Outer Banks in North Carolina to do this little ritual that he requested when he died. So we did that. And that was 10 years ago. And this year was the 10th anniversary. And I gathered the boys and I said, I'd like to repeat that. And they said, okay. So we went down and repeated. I mean, it was a happy thing, but we repeated it. And to my complete astonishment, it was closure for me. I couldn't believe it. I thought I was there. I thought I was done. Yeah. But apparently not. And it was doing that made me realize he's really gone. I mean, he's seriously not coming back. And it was so surprising. It was so surprising that was still in there to be resolved.
After all that time.
After all that time and all that activity. Yeah. I mean, I do stuff, you know.
Right. You do stuff and you work with people. And
Yeah. And it was surprising and it feels good, but it doesn't mean I forgot him. I think about him every day, you know.
Right. Right.
And I'm sorry. I wish he were here. There's still time to, I guess. Enough already. Where are you? Enough of this game. But it's done. It's over. And it happens in life.
It does. It does. I've had a few comments here about loss in the family of siblings, children. Those are not the kinds of clients that you work with. Is that right?
No, I really work primarily with people who have lost a partner. And I think that, and we've said this in our, you know, own conversations, but there are certainly similarities in loss. But I think there are also differences in dealing with the loss, God knows, with the loss of a child, which I truly cannot, I don't feel equipped to address that. I have no experience in that. And if someone were to come with me and present that, I would help that person find the right support system. It's not
so, and I appreciate that about you, Linda. So, I mean, you have a background. You are a trained therapist, counselor, and a trained coach, and you're bringing yourself, your whole self, to this, having lived it and experienced it. And I think that makes you an even more empathetic guide for the clients that you get.
Yeah, thank you. I do feel strongly about that. And the more I do it, the more strongly I feel about how important it is that to have my story, because I really can hear someone else's story.
Yeah.
And work with that understanding.
And connect with them on that level.
Connect that way, yeah.
Yeah. So SOAR is the entry level. What goes beyond that?
Well, we go from a 6 week to a 6 month, and it's the same material, but of course we go deeper. Mm. You know, it's like the proverbial onion. We can do the first layer, but it's not going to erase everything that's underneath. And so then we go back, but we go deeper, and it's more talk, it's different exercises.
Yeah.
A deeper dive.
And, you know, I was just thinking about the ritual that you and your sons all experienced once when he died, and now 10 years later. Do you talk about rituals with your clients, finding a ritual for saying goodbye?
Yes. I mean, some people connect with that, some don't, you know, it doesn't resonate, and that's fine. But I, you know, rituals have been around since forever, since human life, and there's a reason. You know, they ground us.
Yeah.
They ground us, and they place us in time and in our lives. You know, a wedding is a ritual, a confirmation, a baptism, a bris, whatever it is.
Right.
There are reasons. And I think that creating our own family rituals, and particularly around death, and some cultures have those built in, and others really don't. So if you create your own, that's good.
Yeah, because I think it can be really helpful. You know, I'm not a death expert either, but, you know, I feel like it makes it more easy to talk about, right? As you said, people don't know what to say. They don't know how to address you. You don't know how to talk to them about it. If you form some kind of ritual, some clothes, like a funeral is a ritual too.
Right.
But some way to say goodbye and to get closure, I think it makes it normalizes it a little bit.
Yes. The funeral, of course, is a ritual. The thing with funerals is that it's so soon after the loss.
Right.
It's coming back a month later, 3 months later, 6 months later. But you can do that with your children, or if that's the kind of relationship that you have, or with your whoever is close to you, you know, with your closest friend, with your sister, however that works in someone's life. But yeah, I agree. I think it is important. And I realized it was more important than I even realized this time when we redid this ritual after 10 years. And I realized the impact it had on me.
Yeah. Well, something else you can add to your class.
Right.
I ask you, any of the listeners that might be dealing with a loss like this or know there's one coming up, are there a couple of takeaways that you can leave with people to help them start to move on from a loss?
The first thing that comes to my mind is something we hear all the time. So it's overused, it's hackneyed, we hear it, but it's true, which is taking care of yourself, which is really hard to do.
Really hard to do when you feel so down.
You feel awful. Or if you're around the clock caretaker, which I experienced, and I'm actually experiencing it again with someone else, not a partner though, a very close friend. It's exhausting, and it saps everything. It not only saps our energy, like we aren't sleeping enough or we're not sleeping well, but it saps our focus on just getting quiet, on getting centered. So, you know, it's the same. I feel apologetic saying self-care because it's so canned, but it's canned for a reason. It works, and it's necessary. I don't think you can move on without starting to listen to yourself. And how can you start to hear that little whisper that I was talking about earlier if you never get quiet? And how can you get quiet if you never sleep, or you never take a moment for yourself, or you never take a hot bath, or whatever works for you, or meditate? And maybe it's possible, maybe it's not, maybe you're too agitated to meditate. But whatever it is, taking a walk in outside, yeah, anything, by the water, by the flowers, whatever it is, but you need to know what it is and do it. Mm-hmm. And it can be really hard. Sometimes you just really don't want to. I don't want to take this stupid bath. I don't want to run the water. I don't want to do it. But it might be better if you did, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So self-care. And then start, I think the other thing is to start to trust that little voice that's talking about creative. Try it, try it.
Right, right, right. That little voice that's saying anything. I mean, you know, well, call that person or go to that, try that group. Go, connect with those people. You know, it's always little. Intuition doesn't hit us over the head.
Yeah.
It'll be there if we're attuned to the existence of it and we believe in it and we rely on it. Because it's us. It's what's in us.
Right.
It's yeah.
Well, I appreciate what you shared with us today and what you are sharing with others. So let me show people how they can reach out to you. You know, people, we never know when we're dealing, going to have to deal with something like this, right?
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. So you can email Linda at Rivero, R-I-V-E-R-O, Linda, at gmail.com. Yes. And you can check out her website, which is the number 55 and boulder.co, not C-O-M, but C-O. And you'll find all kinds of resources there and articles and, you know, what Linda's all about. You'll get more ideas about Linda at 55andboulder.co.
Yes. Thank you, Wendy. And also I have a little...
You have your giveaway. Yes. Tell us about the giveaway.
It's 7 Soothing Secrets to Happiness for the Mature Woman in Transition. And they're 7 soothing secrets, ways to start moving forward, as you were just asking me, that are comforting, that feel good, and are doable. Just start going forward. And at 55andboulder.co, there's a little spot, you know, they'll be able to put in their name there, and I'll be happy to share that. I think it's good. I think it's worthwhile.
Great. Well, I appreciate that, Linda. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Wendy.
Yeah. So before I let you all go, I want you to remember, please, to share this episode with your friends and family. It really does help to grow the show the more that you share it. And if you like the content of what we're doing, you can support the work by going to the website buymeacoffee.com. And then you would say /HeyBoomer0413, and you can support at any amount that you feel good about. I would greatly appreciate that. And also make sure that you check out Road Scholar. Just go and have fun and look at their site, roadscholar.org/HeyBoomer. And it's important that you add the /HeyBoomer so that they know that you heard about them from the Hey Boomer show. And next week we take another turn, and my guest is a woman named Julie Noonan. And Julie has been an organizational change leader. And just about the time the pandemic shut us down, she decided to go out on her own as a consultant. And she became a certified executive coach. And she primarily works with owners of small businesses. So Julie and I are going to talk about some of the emotional fallout that companies feel or that individuals feel when they are separating from the small business that they grew and nurtured for many, many years. So join us for that. That should be interesting. And I'd like to leave you all with the belief that we can all live with curiosity, live with relevance, and live with courage. And remember that you are never too old to set another goal or dream a new dream. My name is Wendy Green, and this has been Hey Boomer. Hey Boomers, 40% of Americans have a hard time swallowing pills. So when it's time to take your vitamins, large capsules and pills are out of the question. I certainly don't like those. So we know gummy vitamins exist, but they're full of sugar. They get stuck in your teeth, and they only contain a fraction of the nutrients that you need. Luckily, Easy Melts has discovered the ultimate vitamin sweet spot vitamins that melt in your mouth, taste like a treat, and are packed with nutrients ready for absorption, all without an ounce of sugar. For a limited time, Easy Melts is giving Hey Boomer listeners a free 3-month supply of vitamin D3 with your first purchase. To claim your free D3, visit try.easymelts.com/heyboomer. Say goodbye to the old way of taking your vitamins and hello to the easy way.